welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church, Harlan, Illinois.
Enjoy your service. Good evening. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and tonight is a very special service for Maundy Thursday. Tonight we begin what's known as the Holy Triduum, which means the Holy 3 days, as we consider our Lord's Passion. And so historically, this is a service that takes place over the course of 3 different parts. So the service tonight will begin with the invocation, but it really won't end until we gather together again on Easter Sunday morning. And so tonight, after we receive the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him and what took place that night before his crucifixion, we will also then prepare for Good Friday with the stripping of the altar. Everything that's up here will be removed, and then we will exit the sanctuary in silence this evening without a benediction taking place. And so we're glad that you're here tonight. We're also celebrating because we have our 8 newly confirmed members of our congregation who are all up here in front with their families, and they're going to be receiving the Lord's Supper for the very first time tonight. So we're certainly giving thanks to God for that. Everything that you need for worship tonight is here in the bulletin. I invite you to please stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. You may be seated. During this Lenten season, we have heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that prevents us from trusting in God and loving each other. Since it is our intention to receive the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ on this night, when he instituted this blessed meal for our salvation, it is proper that we complete our Lenten discipline by diligently examining ourselves, as St. Paul urges us to do. This holy sacrament has been instituted for the special comfort of those who are troubled because of their sin, and who humbly confess their sins, fear God's wrath, and hunger and thirst for righteousness. But when we examine our hearts and consciences, we find nothing in us but sin and death, from which we are incapable of delivering ourselves. Therefore, our Lord Jesus Christ has had mercy on us. For our benefit, he became man, so that he might fulfill for us the whole will and law of God, and to deliver us, took upon himself our sin and the punishment we deserve, so that we may more confidently believe this and be strengthened in the faith and in holy living. Our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." It is as if he said, "I became man, and all that I do and suffer is for your good. As a pledge of this, I give you my body to eat." In the same way also, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Again, it is as if he said, "I have had mercy on you by taking into myself all your iniquities. I give myself into death, shedding my blood to obtain grace and forgiveness of sins, and to comfort and establish the New Testament, which gives forgiveness and everlasting salvation. As a pledge of this, I give you my blood to drink. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup, confidently believing this word and promise of Christ, dwells in Christ, and Christ in him, and has eternal life. We should also do this in remembrance of him, showing his death, that he was delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. Giving him our most heartfelt thanks, we take up our cross and follow him, and according to his commandment, love one another as he has loved us. as our Lord on this night exemplified this love by washing his disciples' feet, so by our words and actions, we serve one another in love. For we are all one bread and one body, even as we are all partakers of this one bread and drink from the one cup. For just as the one cup is filled with wine of many grapes, and one bread made from countless grains, so also we, being many, are one body in Christ. Because of him, we love one another, not only in word, but in deed and truth. May the Almighty and merciful God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by his Holy Spirit, accomplish this in us. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us confess our sins to him, imploring him for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Please stand. We confess together. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. God be merciful to you and strengthen your faith. Amen. Do you believe that the forgiveness I speak is not my forgiveness, but God's?
Yes.
Let it be done for you as you believe. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Go in peace. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament, you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Maundy Thursday comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people, and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading this evening is from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning with verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There, prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and say to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard the word of God, we now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith. And this evening we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon hymn tonight is "Lord Jesus Christ, Life-Giving Bread." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon this evening is the epistle from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is just two short verses, verses 16 and 17, but they are profound verses, and they're very important for us to consider and meditate on Maundy Thursday as we consider what has taken place on that night before Jesus' crucifixion. Paul especially teaches in this passage that when we receive the cup, we participate in Christ's blood. When we receive the bread, we participate in his body. Not only that, but we are unified. We participate amongst each other, and we have our faith strengthened, but we also have our relationships with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ strengthened as well. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, once upon a time, I was a pretty decent bowler. And, you know, not like I was really super serious about it or anything, and I certainly wasn't about to go pro any time in my life, but for a little while there, I participated in this Saturday morning bowling league at our local bowling alley near the house where I grew up in Connecticut. And you know, it was about 5 years of my life, maybe, you know, somewhere around middle school and high school, somewhere in there. And, you know, I think maybe just because I had that opportunity to go every single week, that consistency really helped me to improve, kind of helped me learn what it meant to actually be a bowler, you know, and not just like a chucker, right? You know what I mean? You know, because most people who just get started or just go to have fun, you know, like most people are chuckers. They just chuck the ball down the lane and kind of hope for the best. And that's okay, right? You probably got some chuckers here with us today. That's okay. It's a lot of fun, you know, if you're just there to have a good time, that's great. But, you know, if you're in a league and there's some sort of competition involved, you know, and you want to beat your opponent, right? So that kind of forces you to maybe focus in a little bit more and just try to learn how to control the ball and make it do what you want it to do, you know? And just naturally, by doing that over and over again through that practice, your bowling average is going to go up. I mean, normally that's what happens anyway. Anyway, so one of the things that my bowling team and I say my bowling team, it's just like three of my buddies from school, right? But like, one of the things that we always looked forward to is at the end of the season, the league season, the bowling alley would sponsor this award ceremony at our local amusement park. So it was great because we got to go to the amusement park and ride all the rides for free all day long. And then at a certain point, we were supposed to go to this special spot in the park and they would feed us food. And then they had this award ceremony where they would hand out all of these trophies to everybody. And I think I've probably mentioned this before in a sermon, but I think you all know that I grew up right smack dab in the middle of that participation trophy era, right? So in other words, in order to not hurt anybody's feelings, we all knew it didn't matter if you came in first place or last place, if you were the best bowler or the worst bowler, everybody knew that you were going to be leaving that park with some sort of trophy in your hand. And what that meant for me is that over the years, I ended up with all of these bowling trophies that I didn't necessarily earn, especially those first couple of years when I was just getting started and just learning how to play. And so it's just kind of interesting because if you were to go back in time and look at my bedroom and look at the top of my dresser in those days, you would have thought that I was like the greatest bowler who ever lived. You'd see all of these bowling trophies. I don't know if there's like a Tiger Woods equivalent for bowling, but you would have thought that that was me. Right? You would have thought this is the most decorated child bowler that Terryville, Connecticut has ever seen. All because of these participation trophies that I got. Armfuls of participation trophies. Okay, so what does that have to do with anything, Pastor? Well, I'm sure you didn't come here tonight to hear about all of my mediocre bowling achievements, but just kind of hold on to that in your back of your head, and I'll come back to it, I promise. I always do. We are gathered tonight for Maundy Thursday, so we're considering all of these things that happened with Jesus and his disciples on the night before the crucifixion. And, you know, we heard the gospel passage tonight from Mark chapter 14, and I think that really does a great job of highlighting the most significant moment that night where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. He shares his last meal with them. He shares this Passover, but in the process, he gives to them, and by extension to the rest of us, this amazing gift of the sacrament, which, of course, we still continue to receive in remembrance of him all these years later. Like I said, tonight I really want to specifically focus in on that really short epistle reading because I think Paul says some really profound things about the Lord's Supper here. And since it's just two verses, I'm going to go ahead and read them again real quick. He says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." The word that kept jumping out to me over and over again as I was studying this text this week was the word participation. So Paul is really making it a point to teach these Corinthians that when you drink the cup, you're participating in Christ's blood. And when you eat the bread, you're participating in his body. And all of us Lutherans are saying, well, yeah, that's what we've been taught about the sacrament our whole lives. You probably can think back to your time in confirmation and learning all about the sacrament of the altar in Luther's Small Catechism. I can think of eight of you who have heard of that more recently than maybe some of the others in the room. Right? But you say, of course it is what Jesus says it is. But the ancient Corinthian Christians that Paul was writing to, and many other Christians living today, do have a hard time seeing that this bread and this wine could really be anything other than bread and wine. And so instead of viewing the sacrament as an actual participation in Christ's body and blood, instead, it's almost like they would view it as more like a participation trophy. See, I told you I'd come back to it. A participation trophy that, in the end, isn't really all that special. I mean, it's significant, you know, in the moment during the ceremony, but then afterwards you kind of forget about it. Maybe it goes on the shelf, or maybe it goes in a box and it ends up in the basement and collects dust. And the way that that played out in the lives of the Corinthians was, for one example, they would basically treat the Lord's Supper the same way that they would treat any other meal. So there were times, like even in the context of a worship service, when the Corinthians were completely like stuffing themselves on the bread, drinking way too much wine. And then on top of that, they even started introducing eating this meat that had already been sacrificed to these foreign idols. It was just like this big, giant mess, because that's kind of how things were in those earliest days of the church, especially in some of these Greek cities. And what Paul is saying here is, no, this cup and this bread are unique because you're actually participating in Christ's body and blood. And so you should treat them in that way. Thankfully, for us, we don't typically struggle with that aspect of the Lord's Supper anymore. I mean, I'm not expecting that anybody would leave here tonight feeling like you've completely eaten way too much bread or you've been completely overserved with the wine or anything like that. But actually, for us, if you think about it, the connection between the Lord's Supper and a participation trophy actually could be a positive thing, depending on how you think about it. So essentially, what happens when you receive the sacrament is that you are receiving this amazing blessing, this spiritual prize, if you will, which you absolutely had to do nothing to earn. All you had to do was show up, and you got the prize. It's kind of like what we call the gospel. right? The good news of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which you don't have to do anything to earn. It's simply given to you as a gift over and over and over again by our gracious God. And the Lord's Supper is also kind of like a participation trophy in the sense that everybody who receives it gets the same thing. We all get the same prize. So when Paul mentions the word participation in this text, the word in Greek that he's using is a word called koinonia, which maybe you've heard that word before. Sometimes really churchy people use that word sometimes. So it means, koinonia is like fellowship. It's like people who have something in common. There's a unity to this. So not only are the cup and the bread united with Christ's body and blood, but you also have the fact that together we are united to one another in faith whenever we receive this sacrament. It's an amazing thing. It's like what Paul says, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. We all go home with the same trophy. Now, if we've heard one consistent criticism of the whole participation trophy thing, it's this. There are many people who feel that those who were raised in my generation, millennials, that we, because we were raised to receive participation trophies that we didn't necessarily earn, that means that that's kind of made us soft. It's kind of made it so that we sort of take that for granted. We're entitled to things that we didn't necessarily earn, right? And I can't speak for everybody in my generation, so I'm not going to even bother trying. But as a pastor, what I can speak to is the way that many Christians do treat the Lord's Supper today. And really, maybe the gospel itself, for that matter. There's always going to be a temptation for sinful people to abuse the gifts that God has given them. There's always going to be people who allow this amazing gift, this amazing prize, to just kind of sit on the shelf or sit in a box. You know, one of the reasons why Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper on the night before his crucifixion is so that we would have these unending opportunities to have our faith strengthened for the rest of our lives. So that as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we wouldn't just be like those bowlers who chuck the ball down the lane and just hope that something good happens. But instead, by coming back to the supper over and over again, by receiving that gift over and over again, that helps each of us to go from being a chucker to being an actual bowler. Or maybe to put it in a more spiritual way, to move from infancy to maturity. So that we're not just being tossed back and forth all the time whenever bad things happen to us in our lives, but we simply stand firm and cling to Christ, trust in him no matter what. Every single day. That's a really, really important gift. That's why it's so important and such a blessing that we have our 8 newly confirmed members sitting up here today. That you get to receive your first spiritual participation trophy tonight. Because you're not babies anymore. So instead of just watching, instead of just coming up and receiving a blessing while everybody else gets to participate, now from tonight on forward, you get to participate too. You get to be part of that koinonia thing that I was talking about. So all of us together, once again, as we remember and commemorate this night in which our Lord was betrayed, we gather together, we simply show up. And we receive the bread and the cup. And we participate in the body and the blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of all of our sins. And we get another spiritual participation trophy that we get to put on our shelves and carry home with us and keep in our hearts. And we leave here stronger than we were when we came. And more unified than we were when we came. And we leave here more assured of our place in heaven. more assured of that place that Jesus gives us at his banquet table, a place that he gave to you simply for showing up. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Lord, we pray for all people in the church and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and the holy sacraments, making them perfect in love and in all good works, and establishing in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy, take from us all hatred and prejudice, give us the spirit of love, and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy, by your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially all those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, including Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian, and all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Margaret, Fran, Marvin, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Richard, Teddy, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Greg, Linda, Francis, Chris, Eileen, Jean, Janelle, Sam, Laverne, Norma, all those who are fighting cancer, those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If you brought with you an offering for Maundy Thursday, you may place that in the basket in the narthex on your way as you exit the worship tonight. At this time, we will sing an offertory hymn. And I also want to invite the elders to come forward and help set the table as the service of the sacrament will take place immediately following this hymn, "Lord, Help Us Walk Your Servant Way."
Thank you.
Please stand. We continue our service now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who accomplished the salvation of mankind by the tree of the cross, that where death arose, their life also might rise again, and that the serpent who overcame by the tree of the garden might likewise by the tree of the cross be overcome. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you, and singing the third and fourth stanzas of Holy, Holy, Holy. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you. Please be seated. Our first 8 tables this evening are going to be made up of the confirmands and their families. And so, as we've done with everything else, Riley, you get to go first. Welcome to the Lord's table. Riley, would you and your family take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Okay, Addie. Yep. Addie, would you and your parents take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Carly? Welcome to the Lord's table. Carly, would you and your family take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Jamie. Welcome to the Lord's table. Jamie, would you and your parents take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Tim. Welcome to the Lord's table. Tim, would you and your family take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul into life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Ruthie. Sorry. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Got it. Okay. hard time counting. Okay. Welcome to the Lord's table. Ruthie, would you and your family take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. Colt. Welcome to the Lord's table. Colt, would you and your parents take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. And Thomas. Welcome to the Lord's table. Thomas, would you and your family take and eat? This is the true body of Christ given for you. Amen. Take and drink. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen. The ushers may now come forward as we continue now with general distribution. Please stand. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I will invite our acolytes forward as they extinguish the candles. I will invite our confirmands forward and also our elders as we strip the altar in advance of Good Friday.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breasts. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it.
Thank you.